It's good to be back, and it's always exciting to be back, but I have a problem. Normally, when I come back, I would overdress, particularly in English service. I still remember last time I was attending a wedding here. That's why I had my black Mandarin collar shirt, a suit with me. And I was preaching here in English the day after. It was find myself so awkward, you know. And today, I guess glad not the only person with a jacket. He's always can count on like Solomon, you know, and to have a jacket on, I guess. at least when I was at Pacific Grace about like 20 some years ago, Grace was still just a little girl, and now she's in charge now. You know, really. Have you seen something called a Muppet Show? Have you seen that? Now Grace was really good at it. Yeah, we did something really crazy at that time. You know, when we did the announcement, it's not like that before. You know, Grace would be up there with another person, showing their hands and using the Muppets to make the announcement. Grace, you still remember days, right?
Yeah.
but anyway, I'm just so excited, really, to be back. And but just like what I shared earlier, you know, this trip is it's a little bit heavy. And get a chance to walk around Chinatown, see a lot of homeless people will be spending night in tents. Which I just didn't notice that there were just that many. There was a lot of tents there, and a lot of business, of course, were gone. And just like the worship leader shared earlier, you know, of course. Come back, I always have dim sum with my mother and of course my sister and other folks anyway. And my one of my nieces walked in with her head wrap. I thought it was a fashion statement, but of course I know it's not. Because no one told me that she has cancer. And she just had surgery a couple of days ago. Things do change. Things do change. And as a matter of fact, you know, like I may have shared with you before, you know, every time we go to the hospital, I just ask the Lord, you know, like, if you could just give me the gift of healing, which I don't have. I really want to have it. You know, it's special seeing some of the loved ones suffer. And so today I just want to speak to you on another miracle. It's a healing. It's a healing of a man deaf and mute. I know mute may not be a word you're accustomed to. Okay, you could find it in your remote control if you want to. And I could use another word, maybe like the word dumb. But I guess I also need to clarify myself that dumb or dumbness does not refer to this person's IQ. But his ability or his inability, in this case, to speak. Now, I'm not sure you know what it means to not able to speak. I don't know whether you know what it means by losing your voice. A friend of mine, dead, his name is Jim Wilson. When I first met Jim, he carried a very small PA system with him so he could project his voice without a whole lot of effort. Before I met him several years ago, he was diagnosed with a thyroid cancer. And after surgery, he found himself without a voice. Now, what a blow it was for him. And he had many questions what if the condition were to be permanent? And he'll continue to ask, what good is a pastor without a voice? You see, Jim was a pastor. After months and months of doubts and anguish, Jim accepted the fact that he may not speak again. He began writing. And a year after surgery, he slowly regained his voice. Now that Jim has two ministries, a speaking ministry and a writing ministry. Now I know Jim's healing may not be miraculous, but Jesus' healing of this man, deaf and dumb, was. And today I want to just maybe spend a little time to rethink, what is a miracle? Oftentimes people say miracles is when God steps in and does the impossible. And to be honest, man, I have mixed feelings of this miracle. You see, my world, maybe it's like yours too, it's very much polluted with noise. And this time when I am here in Vancouver, I would rent a car, but this time I didn't. For some reason, I just want to just blend in with the people here. So like my sister gave me a compass card. So I started to use the compass card and go to different places, and of course including riding on the bus. Some experience, you got to try it sometimes. A few days ago, when I was on a bus, and no particular reason at all, four adults started yelling at each other. You know, what they're just arguing with, I think it was just so childish. It was just so childish that one woman was accusing the guy sitting across the seat from where she was, saying, "Why are you staring at me? Come on, it's so childish." You know, the little kids would do that. You know, like, "Why you look at me? Why you stare at me?" I thought, we got over this already. And they started to argue until the time that actually got out of the bus. It's crazy. You know, I think it's just crazy. That's why I envy this person. You know, like, he didn't have to run into any kind of arguments. And after all, he can't anyway. And today, for me, it's finding peace and silence. It's just become harder and harder. I don't know whether you agree with me. It's just getting harder and harder. Like, if I were driving to Los Angeles, you know, I could just pull off at just stop at a traffic light, and all of a sudden, this car, a big truck, just pulling next to me with the sound system fully blasted. I don't know whether you get experience or not. I do had it all the time. The only thing I could do, just roll up the windows, and still you can still hear that. So my world is like that. It's always just a lot of noise, a lot of noise. But on the other hand, I'm sympathetic to this person because he couldn't even carry a simple conversation. I don't know whether he's married. I don't know whether he has a wife. You know, but he couldn't even. He couldn't even tell his wife that he loved her. I don't know whether he has any kids or daughter or son, you know, like he could never, you know, tell him or tell her that he was proud of him. He couldn't do that. So today let's check out this story from Mark chapter 7. Verse 31 to 37. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Why? Because it's free. Well, verse 31. Then he, of course, I mean Jesus, returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and a speech impediment. I like that interpretation, I mean, the translation a little bit better. Of course, you're familiar with NIV. I think they use he can hardly talk. Same thing. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. But instead of doing it in public, Jesus taking him aside from the crowd privately, and he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. You probably think, Jesus did what? I'm sure this is not a miracle or a healing that you're very familiar with. But I can guess some of you are probably saying, gross, or yuck. Right? I would do that. When I read this story for the first time, I say, yuck. Come on. But other than that yucky part, now I think it makes sense. I think it makes sense. I mean, there was a problem with his hearing, so Jesus touched his ears. Okay? There was a problem with his speaking, then Jesus touched his tongues. It makes sense. It makes sense, you know? Okay, because I think especially now, a lot of people do things that don't necessarily make sense. Okay? And they're like, there's an issue here, they could be taking care of doing something else, you know, totally different. Well, when there's a problem with this, take care of it. When there's something like with problems with speaking, take care of the tongue. When it's an issue with hearing, take care of the ears. And it's just really simple. And at the time, Jesus looked up to heaven, and he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha. And it means to be open. And his ears were open, his tongues were released, and he spoke plainly. Now, I spent a lot of time thinking of it. Why does that say, like, open? Why is it called release, you know? The only thing I get is that, well, if it were to be open now, so it means that before it was shut or stuck previously. To be released now means that it before was just was locked. Somehow there was hindrance in keeping that person able to speak properly. And again, I think, as I said, like, I think it makes a lot of sense. Go straight to the problem. Deal with the problem. And touched by Jesus, the man was healed. Experience the Lord. Indeed, this person was whole again. Now, in a way, it's a very simple story. It's a simple miracle. And that's the end of it. Of course, I would say, praise the Lord. That's the end of a miracle. And I start asking myself, why do I want to speak this miracle, this healing with you? Because I too had the experience of losing my voice. It was a Saturday. To be exact, it was May 26th. It was 3 months ago. Saturday is a very busy day for me. 9 o'clock in the morning, I was teaching an English class at church. Basically, a lot of the new, some not necessarily new, but the immigrants, they loved their time, you know, like because we also had a citizenship class in our church, and we consider it as the elite school in Los Angeles to teach immigrants to become to be naturalized, to become American citizen. Like we have a success rate of about like 98%. It was a good class, you know, like, and after that, a lot of people actually stay to learn English. And recently, you know, I've been teaching an English class, go back to the very basic, start teaching from ABCs and 1, 2, 3s, and learn, teach them how to do phonics and that kind of stuff anyway. So I was doing that like from 9 o'clock in the morning and, around like 11 o'clock, even 11 o'clock, I know something's wrong. About 11:30, I start to lose my voice. At noon, the class ended, and so was my voice. Well, also, like some people, they're so good to me, and always want to take me out to lunch. And that's why, like when I was here 20-some years ago, I was a lot smaller, and now I'm just so much bigger. Too much food, too much good food in LA. Of course, the food is not as good compared to Vancouver, but it's a lot cheaper. Yeah. So anyway, like I've been eating. I think it's way too much. Again, it's not nothing strange, nothing special. And some people in church asked me to just go to lunch. It was the hardest conversation just in that matter, which is 1 hour. Can't speak, can't talk. You know, they always expect a pastor to speak. And they all expect the pastor will have come up a lot of a nice conversation to go with. And the funny guy, the humorous person. And that day, it's just nothing to offer. I mean, I have really nothing to offer. Bad thing is, 2 o'clock, I still have to teach another class. Teach an iPad, an iPhone class to some elderly folks. I don't know where the church here would be interested anyway, but like I've been teaching iPhone and iPad to to a group of older folks, you know, like they always tell me, I have a son or I have a daughter who wouldn't teach me. Like all they do is that like just to take care of my problems and then they say, here you go, get your iPhone, get your iPad, you know. So I was patiently been teaching some of the older folks how to use iPhone and iPad. It was good. I got a lot of satisfaction out of it. But that day, I have a problem. I can't teach. I have no voice. I was glad that I have an assistant who actually know about iPhone and iPad a lot better than I do to take over the class. But you know, that was just Saturday. That was just the first day. But what about Sunday? And you know that Sunday is our working day, right? Yeah. But what I need to tell you, though, Sunday is not our only working day. Yeah, we do work other days anyway. But like Sunday is a busy day, and that particular day was really busy. I had two messages to give, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. And plus, I was to lead praise and worship in the afternoon worship. Again, I asked the same question. What good is a pastor without a voice? What good is a worship leader without a voice? Of course, I have no time to pity myself. I have problems to solve. When I texted, I do text, okay, I do text. I do message one of my seminary student intern. I've done something I've never done before. You know, I gave him my PowerPoints and said, well, preach tomorrow. And I also gave him my the songs for the PowerPoints for the following days, you know, for that Sunday, and then he's going to lead worship, even though he will be using YouTube. I like live. I like with a worship leader like you guys, you know, like play your music, you know. Where I think it's Pacific Grace will always have their own worship leaders, you know, like playing guitar, playing and having keyboards and just to, I mean, enjoy it like this. I don't like use YouTube. But that day, I don't have any choice. So I gave him the songs. I gave him the PowerPoints. Well, somehow he pulled it through. He pulled it through. But I still have a morning worship to take care of. So I texted my one of my elders. Say, well, guess what? I'm losing my voice. Actually, I lost my voice already. Could you preach the next day? Well, I waited a long time before he returned my message that I've never preached before. I said, don't worry, I'll send you the PowerPoint. He was still very reluctant. And I said, well, I want to do it this way. I'll send you my full manuscript. All you have to do, just read it. Read it verbatim. Just read my message. Well, finally, with a lot of convincing to do, he agreed. But like, he didn't do the verbatim part. Somehow he wants to add a little color to the message and end up that particular day in our morning worship, it was 20 minutes longer than usual. Well, but that was just the second day. But I have a lot more to do. A following week, the whole weekend, I'm loaded. I was supposed to minister, actually 3 days, in BC. Well, not British Columbia, but Baja California. I was supposed to go to Ensenada for 3 days. Friday, I have to give the teacher class. Saturday, I have to have a whole day conference speaking 5 messages. And Sunday, of course, I have to speak at that same church and giving a message. I asked myself, you know, will I have my voice back in time to speak? Actually, another question I asked, will I ever have my voice back? If I don't, what else can I do? I knew it took Jim a whole year to get his voice back. But I don't have a year. I only have 3 days. And I don't want to carry a little PA system like Jim did. And I don't want to do that. It's so embarrassing, at least to me. And believe me, that few days, I prayed hard. I really prayed hard. I praise the Lord. I regained some of my voice back on Wednesday, and then more on Thursday. But I wasn't that confident at all that I could do it. Then the words from Isaiah comforted me. There was Isaiah 35, 5 and 6. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. Praise the Lord, I got through that 3 days in Mexico. Tired, exhausted, and voice very much shot. Yet I returned to the U.S. very much satisfied and thankful. I rested as much as I could for the week and speaking as little as possible. But you know, sometimes it's very difficult. It's very difficult because after all, I have a wife and also I have a daughter. Someone did a study and said, well, there is a difference between men and women. An average man speaks about like 15,000 words a day, and women would speak an average of 25,000 words a day. Well, even though I had my 15,000 words unused, I still have a wife, have 25,000 words also not used. And my daughter saw us that. It was so tired. But silence for a few days, I discover something. It's a very, I think, strange. In silence, actually, I can listen better. In silence, I can actually listen better. I'm very much convinced that speaking for God, which I try to do all the time, if I don't listen first, I have nothing to give. If I don't receive message from the Lord first, I have nothing to give you. And speaking for God depends very much on listening to God. But I think it also applies that even speaking to one another
very much depends on listening to that person first. I've never considered myself a very impatient person. But in that few days, I think I wasn't patient enough. I always try to have an answer, always, like before even someone finish a statement or a sentence, I have an answer for it already. But at those few days, I don't have a choice. I listen. Until that person finish his or her sentence. But I hope that's the same thing for us. I hope to convince you, hope to also like remind you maybe. Listen to the Lord first. Listen to the Lord. Listen to people. If I don't listen well, I don't speak well. In my silence, the Lord also led me to just one question, one simple question. Who are the people without voice? Who are the people without voice? Now, of course, my first impression is, you may call me conservative. My first answer is unborn babies. They are people without voice. Last time I was here, I get a chance to talk to a young lady who was one of the 18 babies born in the same year. That was 1993. My son was born in the same year. My son was born at least at that time, it's called Grace Hospital. How many of you know what's Grace Hospital or heard of Grace Hospital? Now, we don't have that anymore. What's it called now? I admire the hospital. They would rather just give up operation of that hospital instead of performing operations that would violate every value they have. When I was here previously, like from time to time, I would just take my son, just walk, drive around, and just particularly want to just go to Grace Hospital at that time. Of course, now it's no more. I was still reflecting on this. I thought I heard from the Lord, said, who else? Who else are the people that live around you that with no voice? I spent some time thinking. Certainly in the church that I'm pastoring now, it's 40% Asians and 40% Hispanic and 20% something else. A lot of people have no voice. Really, a lot of people are without a voice. With some of them, we call them oppressed. Who speak for them? And that's what I heard. That's my challenge. Will you be their voice? Will you speak on their behalf? Brothers and sisters, I want to just lay the same challenge to you. Could you also identify people with no voice? Before worship, we spent a little time talking at some of the churches now to drop the name Chinese from their names. Of course, happened to Pacific Grace many years ago. And number of options. Some church would want to continue to keep the word with C. So in this case, like Christian came in. Of course, like Christian church, of course, it's a denomination. So this church opted not to use community church. I mean, like not to use Christian church, and decided to use MB church. But in the U.S., a lot of churches were also making the same change, even though not the church I'm pastoring. They would just drop the word Chinese, but replace it by community. What is a community? Can we be a community? To be a community, one of the responsibilities is to speak for those people with no voice. To be a community, to identify people without voice. To be a community is to usher in those people who are out and take them in, take them inside as part of the community. So once again, who are people with no voice? And would you become their voice? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you that indeed that we have a voice to speak. At least help me not to take it for granted that I always have a voice. I appreciate and I think so thankful that I can still say words to my loved ones and the dear brothers and sisters in our midst. But I just hope the day we still have a voice. We say it to glorify your name. We'll be a voice, we'll be a mouthpiece for people without a voice. Once again, thank you for today, and thank you for your word, and thank you for the experience, though it was hard to lose a voice, and maybe, that I can more identify with those people without a voice, that I can speak on their behalf. Continue to bless us and keep us in your care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.